reporters. We have 30 seconds.
I think I've certainly been led more than almost anyone to appreciate the necessity of our First Amendment, our almost unique First Amendment, the protection of the freedom of the press, the freedom of the thought. In this, you can't have democracy without it. And not only now is the Trump administration, now the Biden administration, are using the Espionage Act against a journalist. No freedom of the press involved there. I'm talking about Julian Assange. Biden should drop the appeal that he has made, that Trump initiated, to extradite Julian Assange.
We're going to leave it there, but we're going to continue the discussion after the show. Dan Ellsberg, Pentagon Papers whistleblower. Check out democracynow.org. 50 years ago, that's the date. I'm Amy Goodman.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 7:59 a.m.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you, Cecil. Good morning, dear listeners. Good morning, K-Boom members. Welcome to your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in metro area, 91.9 in Hood River, Oregon, White 7, Washington, points east in the Columbia River Gorge, and the Willamette River Valley, 104.3. That would be for Lomas and Point South. And in the ether, KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio. How is everybody? That sounds so energetic, don't I?
Well, it should be. You know, it's the middle of June, so that means if you're in Western Oregon, that means it's a nice rainy season, and hopefully that will help prevent more wildfires that we experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I'm not ready for that apocalyptic surreal experience again. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-mm. I mean, once again, Portland was known for something not necessarily healthy, and that was having the worst air quality of any city on the planet. And that was a bit much. You know, it was bad enough that it was hard on the lungs, it was hard on the vision. And this in the middle of a year which should have signified great vision, 2020. Now let's hope we are past that. But there are good things in store. I mean, here in early June in Oregon, we think about the Rose Festival, and we think about Father's Day, and we think about graduation, and something else happens around the Ides of June. We think about Juneteenth.
Yeah, and
America, U.S., a second Independence Day.
Right. This also follows what is today, which is known as Flag Day. That's the day that President Wilson issued a proclamation that established June 14th as National Flag Day, where many people display their red, white, and blue on their homes and in their businesses. But I think it's interesting that following that is Juneteenth, which before the celebration of July 4th, which is the celebration of the national U.S. National Day of Independence, in the midst of that, Juneteenth comes up, which is June 19th. And some people might say, what is Juneteenth, right, Celeste?
Well, some people might. No, I would hope by now that it's had, at least here in Portland and then maybe in parts of Oregon, it's had some new adherents, new celebrants. But I, you know, I remember hearing of Juneteenth when I was younger back east in the Midwest, but I didn't really celebrate Juneteenth in effect until it was one of my many summers up in Anchorage, Alaska. And that's when I got a chance to see it in full effect. Now, for those listening, what is Juneteenth season?
Well, like you, many people are unfamiliar with Juneteenth. I think one of the reasons we're talking about this this year, today, is that the Oregon legislature passed a bill, and I'll read it in part, related to Juneteenth. The bill, House Bill 2168, says that whereas June 19th of each year commemorates the emancipation from slavery of those who had been slaves in the United States, and whereas June 19th is also known as Juneteenth, Emancipation Day and Freedom Day, whereas Juneteenth is the oldest African-American holiday observance in the United States, whereas Juneteenth, or June 19th, 1865, commemorates an important step towards the abolition of slavery, and is the date on which Union General Gordon Granger rode into Galveston, Texas, and issued General Order Number 3, requiring the immediate freedom of more than 250,000 enslaved African Americans in Texas. And whereas on September 22nd, 1862, President Lincoln issued the celebrated Emancipation Proclamation, warning Confederate states that he would declare their slaves forever free, and whereas enforcement of the proclamation occurred only in Confederate states that were under Union Army control. And on June 19, 1865, Union troops marched throughout Galveston, reading to the people of Galveston that all slaves were free. And the former slaves of Galveston rejoice in the streets with jubilant celebrations. And whereas Juneteenth celebration began in Texas the following year and commemorates the indomitable spirit of African Americans who were first brought to this country stacked and shackled in the bottom of slave ships in a months-long journey across the Atlantic Ocean, known as the Middle Passage. And whereas 2021 marks the more than 400 years since the first arrivals of Africans in colonial America, and the United States Congress established the 400 years of African American History Commission to commemorate the historic heritage and contribution that Americans of African descent have made in shaping this nation. And the civil rights movement of the 50s and 1960s saw a resurgence of interest in Juneteenth, along with the renewed community celebration of that day, and a growing number of Americans and African Americans. Cultural civic institutes have sponsored Juneteenth cultural events designed to make all Americans aware of this celebration. Whereas Juneteenth celebration are a tribute to those African Americans who fought so long for freedom and worked so hard to make the dreams of equality a reality. whereas Juneteenth is a day of honor and reflect on the significant ways that African Americans have enriched society. Juneteenth commemorates African American freedom and emphasizes education and achievement, whereas Juneteenth is marked with celebrations, speakers, picnics, reflections, and rejoicing, whereas the recognition of the many ways in which the history and culture of African Americans have contributed to the history, culture, and social fabric in the state of Oregon. Legislative Assembly finds that establishing Juneteenth as a legal holiday is appropriate. Now, therefore, be it enacted by the people and state of Oregon that Oregon Statute 187.010 is amended so that Juneteenth on June 19th is celebrated as a holiday that takes effect on the 91st day after the date on which the June 21st regular session of the 81st Legislative Assembly adjourned in India. All of that to say that Oregon will now celebrate June 19th as an official state holiday, legal holiday, which is, I think, monumental, and along with such things as New Year's Day and Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, that Juneteenth is now an legal holiday in Oregon. It will become one when the governor signs this legislation, which was passed overwhelmingly in the Oregon legislature. Next year, it will be a legal holiday in Oregon. So for me, Juneteenth is a recognition of Black excellence, Black achievement, the striving of Black people and Black joy. And in Oregon, we will celebrate it as such on June 19th. And June 19th this year will continue the types of celebration that we've have had in Oregon, where many events are sponsored by many organizations and individuals. And I think we will be amiss if we did not here in Oregon acknowledge the work of one individual in particular to make sure that people would remember it and recognize it in Oregon. And I'm talking, of course, of that wonderful person, Mrs. Clara Peoples.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Indeed. Indeed. So let me say this. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city. This is More Talk Radio. I am here with Cecil. I am Celeste, and good morning, everyone. You know, I promised my late night crew that I would give them a quick shout out. So to Josh and Gemma and Darby and Ron and David, hey, good morning. And keep putting out that positive energy, because we need that. We need that. For my late night crew, or at least one of them. Anyway, so, you know, I want to encourage people to celebrate, but I think what I want to do is get a little bit deeper. And, you know, this is an interesting time for us to be celebrating Juneteenth, because here, even though we've needed a holiday, or it will be a holiday here in Oregon, you know, it is still what's a good way to say this for Monday morning sensitive ears, it's kind of like recognizing that this whole thing of being free is still a farce. It's still a joke. It's not true, you know, because Juneteenth speaks to 2 years of being deceived by a white primacy culture and society and economic system. And here we are right now trying to just broaden people's horizons and recognize the harm done through racism and bigotry. And people are still screaming bloody murder. And one way to look at it is just with regards to the reception of critical race theory. Now, critical race theory has become, what was that the article said? People, the new boogeyman of the right, because it simply just states that this country here is a racist country. It is built off racist ideology. Now, that doesn't mean that every person, every white person you encounter is going to be a racist, even though everybody is raised in this racist culture, everybody, every person. But what it does mean is we have to recognize what that means and try to step forward. So I'm really curious, I mean, as a person of color who's not from Portland or Oregon, but who's celebrating Juneteenth, what does this even mean to you, Cecil, having this as a holiday?
Well, I think I mentioned earlier is the significance is not only the recognition of the struggles of African American, but I think as you suggested, the struggle for emancipation, freedom, liberation, you throw in the word that you would like to use, is an ongoing struggle. And the fact that Juneteenth acknowledges what you shared with us just a few minutes ago of the ongoing struggle of recognition, it is symbolic, I think, of so much of what we mean when we talk about the struggle for liberation, is that it is an ongoing one, that white supremacy continue to either deny or ignore or try to keep from becoming a reality, so that the fact that the President of the United States in 1862 declared that those who were held as enslaved individuals in those states which were in rebellion to the United States of America were set free, that they would not, that many of those individuals were not aware of the Declaration of the Emancipation Proclamation, and that Juneteenth, the interest in Galveston textured by the Union Army with the reading of this emancipation several years after the Declaration, is symbolic that though we might be free, though freedom might exist technically, in the real life existential experience of many people, freedom remains a hope, a dream, and not yet an existential reality. So Juneteenth is a celebration for me of not only the yearning for liberation, but also the recognition that in part we have to live as free people, even as we continue the struggle.
James is on the line.
Good morning. Let's take James.
You know, I think what Juneteenth means to me is that, you know, it's the recognition that we didn't, you know, that number one, like you said, not all of us are free. We're still yearning for freedom. But I think more importantly that, you know, there is a separate reality that exists, coexists with the myth that America tells about freedom and liberty. So I think that recognition that while it might, you know, upset some people, like, well, why do we need to celebrate this day and day, that day? It's because we have this, the United States has this tendency to just, like, assume, it's like when the discussions of, you know, like the women's right to vote, you know, when they celebrate the reception, you know, the completing of the suffrage for women's right to vote, it's only talking about white women, you know. So we need that reminder that not all women got the right to vote at the same time, you know. So I mean, for me, that's what I really feel like when we talk about Juneteenth, is that, you know, not everybody was free. You know, even with the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, Martin Luther King said it was the freedom to starve. You know, they liberated, you know, quote unquote, the enslaved Africans from the plantations, but all it did was just make them fugitive. It just made them fugitives on the run, you know, only to be re-enslaved later when they were caught, if they didn't make it to a place where they could be free, you know, or at least, you know, free from persecution. So I think that that's really important to remember. And I think, you know, in talking about critical race theory, I think it's important to know that this is the latest boogeyman for the right, but I think we got to look at it in larger terms, that it's a boogeyman for settler colonialism, that even our, you know, our supposed white allies, you know, they benefit from the repression of critical race theory as much as white conservatives do. You know, white liberals have, you know, while they haven't been complicit in the violent repression of ideologies, they've been complicit in the co-optation of ideologies. You know, for example, you know, you talk about it's Pride Month, you know, like liberals have been complicit in co-opting Pride. You know, people forget that Pride started as a police riot, but now we have corporations that just throw throw a rainbow on something, you know, as a part of the liberal co-optation of identities in order to be able to further profits. So I think it's really important to understand that there is a reason why we are celebrating Juneteenth now, you know, and that why it hasn't been at least recognized in the past is because they can feel the groundswell from the bottom, the upset of the people, and realizing that they need to do things to quell it. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, and it doesn't, and I don't really think it, I'm not to say that to take away from people recognizing it, because we obviously do need to recognize the struggles of our black brothers and sisters. But it's also just really telling that at the, you know, we're at the precipice of the end of the empire, you know. I think the prediction was 2030, and I know that you can see it all around you, the kind of, like, desolation that we're experiencing. So I just think I think while it's a beautiful thing, because we do need to recognize it, I just feel like it's coming at a time where where this establishment needs a win. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I'm conflicted on a lot of levels, but I mean, that's what I was thinking, you know, when you guys were talking about that.
Several points. Go ahead, Susan.
No, I was just going to thank you for bringing up several points in terms of not only recognizing the history, but also the struggle, and your analysis, I think, is right on in many ways. So thank you for tying together those struggles in recognition of the example of the women's rights to vote and also Pride Month, how these things can either be co-opted or misunderstood, not only of their origin, but of the ongoing empowerment and their meaning for ongoing generation. So thank you so much, James. I always appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, no problem. This is a really good conversation to be having right now.
Thank you. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And join in the call, you know, is this a sign of progress? Because if you look at where we are, you know, you've got people, I think it was it Bill Maher of all people who was saying that he felt like we needed to stop already with the remembrances of harms done because we've made so much progress as a nation. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, Bill, I guess if I was a white man and, you know, I had suffered some of the slings and arrows of that you have in your particular position in life, I might take that view. I might not see how things have not changed. We're not in wholesale servitude, but you know, I want to ask people who say, you know, things like remembering Juneteenth or critical race theory or divisive, I would like to ask them, well, how do you see that there's been all this progress? And not to be not so much to ignore the fact that we have made some progress. I mean, Cecil and I have a radio show. We're talking about this. I had the honor and the privilege of being possibly the first black woman in Oregon to be on a talk show. And so that's not taken lightly. But the problem is that we're still not free if the vast majority of black males who are of the age to vote are being denied, you know, suffrage for one reason or another. And that in many states right now, you have the state legislature trying to push back voting rights and targeting black and brown and indigenous people, especially. So, you know, where's the progress? But then, like I said, I don't want to make it all doom and gloom. So how to compare, how to contrast, how to appreciate this June 2021, Juneteenth, and have it make a positive impact on you instead of always seeing the challenge. I can't even answer my own question.
Joe is online.
Okay, thank you, Ty. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having this important conversation about this important holiday. I wanted to share some comparative perspective on holidays that have to do with liberation of oppressed peoples. The fight for the establishment of Labor Day in the later 19th century was, you know, established first at state levels, and then by the end of the century, after the Pullman strike massacre, U.S. Congress established the National Labor Day. All along the way, the fight to just create this holiday, which may seem like a kind of superficial aspect of freedom struggle, it's just a holiday, you might say, or others might say, but it went hand in hand with the emboldenment of the working classes for their dignity and for their power. And that as Labor Day was recognized in different states and then eventually across the nation, we saw the material rise of workers' power. And I think that in a similar way, the establishment of Juneteenth is about the freedom struggle that continues and that we have to keep pushing. And that when we talk about pushing it, we're talking about material changes still.
Excellent. Hey, Joe, I hear another voice wants an opinion here.
Well, you know, even though the whole labor movement did make a profound difference for people of color, you know, it was not like it was the door to paradise. You know, even in the midst of that, there was a struggle. But it's important to see that as a step forward. So I really appreciate you bringing that to us. You know, we're human beings. We're not perfect. So I guess every advancement, you know, is still mingled with some disappointing slips backward. But the whole thing is push onward and upward.
Yeah.
Push onward and upward. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for that reminder.
Yes, I thank you for that reminder, Joe, and also James. Before you, I think it's important to recognize the not only the struggle, but also be aware of how it is so easy for these struggles to be co-opted. James talked about this as Pride Month and reminded us that Pride Month began with an incident in of a riot by queer people of color, trans women, who had enough of police violence and police abuse. So we need to recognize people like Marsha B. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera as some of the leaders of the rebellion. And so it's not brought to you by corporations. Similarly, as Joe spoke, and also James mentioned the struggle for women's right to vote, the recognition that for many, what had been initially a combined effort for liberation for by white women and others for the enfranchisement of women, for the possibility of women to vote, that we saw that women who were not white were literally pushed to the back of the line in famous marches in Washington for the women's right to vote. And so it wasn't until 50 years later that all women, women of color, were given the opportunity to vote. And similarly, all these struggles for liberations is an ongoing one, and that we are not there, but I think it's important to recognize those moments, not only for the struggles, but for the liberation of all people. So, yes, we have a long ways to go, but I think it's significant for us in the struggle for liberation to recognize those moments and to grieve and give recognition not only to the ancestors, but to those who are continuing the struggle today. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO.
And if you'd like to join in the conversation, the phone number is 503-231-8187. So, I find, you know, I guess as we compare and contrast, you know, how Oregon looks at its non-white members as actual citizens and imbued with all of the rights of white Oregonians, it's interesting that we seem to have a problem in this progressive city of even keeping statues of black folks up without them being defaced. York, who was part of the Lewis and Clark expedition, was memorialized. We had a statue, I think it was in the Mount Tabor area park, and I'd be doggone if it's it's coming down, because it was only up there temporarily, but it's been vandalized. And you know, I guess today is not my day for being as optimistic as I could be, as I usually am. You know, I'm looking at this and I'm finding this dynamic tension, you know, and I'm thinking it's good because we've made progress in that. I have friends who are white who are supportive of me as an individual, as a human being, of me as being fully enfranchised as an American citizen. And so people do have that freedom to freedom of association and freedom of to a degree of self-determination and actualization. But on the flip side, you know, we can't continue to have freedom. We can't grow if we don't look at and recognize and landmark the challenges and mistakes that we had to come through to get to this place. So, you know, that whole vandalizing of York statue, you know, is kind of frustrating to me because, once again, here we are in a state of kind of denial. I don't know, is that too strong a word, Cecil? Am I pushing those buttons today?
Oh, I don't think you, well, if you are, very much, that's okay. Yes, that's you know, we need to move beyond Portland Nice and push those buttons. And what you were referring to was the statue of York, which was placed in Mount Tabor Park, which was, which I mean, the whole history of that that bust is interesting because it, you know, mysteriously appeared after the statue of Harvey Scott, who was a controversial newspaper editor in Oregon, was toppled last spring or last summer during the racial justice uprising. But the bust of York has been the subject of being vandalized itself twice, and once by someone who spray painted on it, "His blood is on your hand," and decolonized, which one, which I can assume was the effort of someone who wants to highlight the continued issues of white supremacy and talking about it. "His blood is on your hands," and decolonized. And then more recently by a woman who just deliberately in the middle of the day, aware of being filmed, vandalized it, the statue, the bust, by covering much of it, of the plinth, in purple spray paint. I won't even say her name because I don't want to dignify her with that publicity, but I think it's symbolic of the continued struggle of people for recognition of their struggle. So yes, the bust of Harvey, not the bust of York, is coming down in part because it isn't able, because the material it was made in won't weather well. The
right, it's a plastic, it's a polymer, yeah.
Bronze statue. Mm-hmm. We have the hope, you know, the promise that it will be replaced after it goes through a process with the Regional Arts and Culture Council this summer. And that the officials are in discussion with the artists who created, the anonymous artists who created that bust. But we'll see.
We'll see. We'll hope that just as Juneteenth has been recognized as significant, that having an artistic expression of the personhood and the service of York, you know, will be recognized. I mean, that would be a good thing. It would. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city. This is More Talk Radio with Cecil and myself, Celeste. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we have the Old Mall Variety Hour and much more here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And if you're enjoying this program and the programs that you hear on KBOO, or even if you don't like it, but with this station or the show even that you love to hate, support us. Keep us strong. Keep us on the air. You can do so a number of ways. two of the most convenient are by going to our website, kboo.fm/give, G-I-V-E, and donating. Or you can text KBOO to 44321 and donate and support us. And I want to thank again all of those people who not only responded and became members and donors back in our spring drive, but continue to do so. Oh, and you know another good reason? I believe KBOO will once again have the Waterfront Blues Festival. Many good reasons to stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, it's so important to stay tuned to be aware of all these great events and also how we might participate in them. And I'm trying to find the flyer right now, and I'm gonna ask if Celeste, who is so much more intimately connected with KBOO than I am, that in addition to the Blues Festival this weekend, KBOO will be co-sponsoring or sponsoring an event in terms of Juneteenth itself at the Jack London Review. Do you have those details up?
I haven't pulled them up yet, but I'm doing so as we speak because you have called me to do so. So here I am trying to hurry up and type all that good stuff in. Let's see. There we go. I got to spell Juneteenth right. There we go. 2021. You know, I know one thing that's going on with it is that one of KBOO's own, Mike Crenshaw, is going to be performing. So here we go. This is the 49th annual Juneteenth Oregon Celebration. We'll be live streaming from the Jack London Review June 19th from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. This is in collaboration with PDX Jazz. Juneteenth Oregon will bring you music, art, entertainment to celebrate Juneteenth recognition as an official state holiday here in Oregon. You can catch the show by tuning in to KBOO 90.7, 91.9, or 104.3, depending upon whether you're in the Portland area, if you're in Hood River, White Salmon, Washington, or if you're in Philomath and part south in Oregon. You can also watch the live stream at juneteenthor.com. So that's juneteenthor.com. All right. And we hope you can participate. You know, it's live stream, and so you're not going to get the same flavor that you would if you've ever been able to participate in the parade or what have you. I've had many a time, and I have to say I have enjoyed it. But it's, you know, as we're coming out of the pandemic shutdown and experience, it's kind of just like the whole idea of Juneteenth itself. It's an expression of hope. It's an expression of change coming and making it good change. So hope you participate. And then there is another event that's going to be taking place. This is, let me pull up the right thing here. We probably would have been talking about it had I found it in my spam in time. So apparently there is going to be through the Oregon Remembrance Project, a presentation by Taylor Stewart, who is the leader of Oregon Remembrance Project. And it's a recognition of the historical marker in Coos Bay to honor Oregon's long-documented lynching victim, Alonzo Tucker, So again, this is one of those situations where even though there is some darkness, you celebrate having moved forward and enjoying the level of freedom and engagement that we have now. You know, what's we got now? And so that's also going to be a live stream event. And I'm trying to figure out how I can post this. Well, here's what I would suggest people do. Is just do a online search for the Portland, excuse me, let's back this up, for the Oregon Remembrance Project. And that will give you the live stream link. The event will be live streamed at 10 a.m. this Saturday. And it'll really kind of deal with, once again, the national reckoning, state reckoning, city, local reckoning of the personhood of Black Americans. So, you know, as Taylor Stewart says, we can't change the past, but we can always change our relationship to the past and make it a better thing, you know. It's not necessarily rewriting history, which seems to be the challenge that a lot of white conservatives seem to have, but a recognizing of a full history, you know. It fascinates me that anytime people want to talk about indigenous history, people on the right, many, not all, get all upset. It's like, you're rewriting history. It's like, no, you unwrote our history. We just uncovering it and putting the plaque back up, so to speak.
Jeff is on the line.
All righty. Well, thank you, Ty. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Celeste and Cecil, for your programming. I'm a white guy, and I continue to educate, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, at some point the civil rights movement back in the 60s got my attention. And I kind of was just thinking that civil rights and Juneteenth and suppressed people, the white people in the country, people I talk to, that I spent 20 years in Oakland, California, and I was a minority, and I appreciated the diversity of the area, and I was a minority, so I look at some of this as like addiction. White people have this addiction to the white supremacy, and they're in denial about it. They don't even know that, and when they hear that they're addicted to it, they deny it. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say, is it's a problem. The other part is KABU. I've been involved in public radio for quite some time as a supporter, and I still have trouble with people don't want to donate, they don't want to listen, they don't want to hear the truth, but they want to pay for all these other media platforms, but they can't come to KABU and become members and give us a stipend every month. So that's pretty much it for me. Thanks.
You said a lot. My goodness. But that was a lot. You know, I don't always agree with what people have to say, and it shouldn't be that way. But I do agree with, you know, the fact that recognizing and celebrating and upholding humanity means you got to pay the price all the way across the board. You know, you can't half step. You know, and I do want to encourage people to support KABU. Now, you know, unless you are absolutely a staff person or a contractor, and there's not that many staff, everybody who does a show at KABU does it free. I've been doing shows for a long time, and Cecil and I have not been paid to do this. You know, we jokingly say this is one of our longest relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. When did we start doing the show? Was it 93, 94?
93.
Okay, so we've been doing this show together since 1993. And we don't get paid for this, no. This is all about love of community. And go ahead.
No,
I just assumed the check was in the mail.
I don't want to besmirch our U.S. postal system by waiting 20-some-odd years for my check, but that's what it would have been. It's like, where my check at? But, you know, I do appreciate that as a listener you say that. You know, it is important to celebrate and support the things you care about. So, you know, thank you for saying that. And this was not a paid solicitation, y'all. This was somebody who called in of their own volition. I know that sometimes it's difficult, maybe on a Monday, to talk about some of the thornier subjects that people and I bring up. And, you know, we try to bring up a lot of different things, from lighthearted and frothy and fun-loving to very serious and sometimes gut-wrenching topics. But that's because we need to talk about it. And this is your opportunity, you know, and we hope that you not just support it by financial means, but you support it by telling people about it, but by calling in and sharing your ideas. And like I said, this is not a platform where you have to agree with either of us. Cecil and I don't even always agree. You know, we have different ideas and ways of approaching issues. But this is like your electronic back fence, backyard fence or coffee table, you know. When you call in, you discuss it. And any question asked with respect will be answered with respect, you know. I do ask you not to be, you know, what would be the word we would say? Don't be an unintentional jerk. Did I use the right word? I said jerk. Is that a bad word?
I think the FCC still allows that word. So
I got it. Yeah.
Okay. So Celeste, I want to talk a little bit about our experiences in terms of celebration, and we mentioned briefly how you first became aware of Juneteenth and Alaska. I was wondering if you could share something about that, and then maybe we can just share a little bit about Mrs. Clara Peoples and what she did in Oregon.
Okay.
So what happened in Alaska, and how do you have to go all the way to Alaska to hear about and first celebrate it?
Well, actually, I was hanging with my friends. I would spend the summer and sometimes the winter, because it was his birthday, up in Anchorage. And I would usually hit there, two or three days before the actual day of summer solstice, because I like celebrating the midnight sun. And so while we were up there, I believe the Air Force base up there is Elmendorf. I think it's Elmendorf. I should look it up so I know what I'm talking about. But a bunch of people who work there happened to be at my friend's house, and was talking about, are we going to Juneteenth? And I'm thinking, Juneteenth? Now, granted, I grew up in the Midwest, in Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, and Kentucky, and I was living in Kansas at the time, so you think I'd known a whole lot more about it. But I remember going up there and seeing more Black people than I had seen since I had left St. Louis. You know, and it was a lot, and I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds. And it was a big cultural event, and information was shared about it. And I was just taken aback because, like many folks of color, when you find out parts of your history that the U.S. doesn't share, you feel like another room in your consciousness has opened up. You know, and sometimes you greet that with frustration because it's like, wow, why am I just now hearing about this? And then there's the, wow, this is not a good thing, or this is a good thing, you know, now. But it was a joyous occasion to me. But it also had me, you know, a little frustrated because being a Native and Black and Irish ancestry, I'm used to this whole thing of conspiracies, you know, plans made about us that weren't made with us. And to me, I thought, oh, so you all, meaning, you know, white primacy culture you all gonna keep the slaves enslaved for two more years. Don't tell them that they're free, and the whole expectation that they're gonna be still working for you. You're still your property. And that was mind-boggling to me, because, you know, you want to think that if people care enough about you to educate you, that they're going to tell you the whole truth. Man, first rule is society as a whole and white primacy culture, because I don't call it supremacy, I just primacy, you know, it doesn't seek anything but its own. And if you step out of line, even as a white person, you know you're branded a race traitor and you're treated as bad. Case in point is the white man who was killed during the 60s when he went down for the voters' registration. I think that was that SNCC or SLCC?
SNCC was the students organizing.
Yeah.
But there were, you know, several young people. White people were martyrs, yes.
Yes. And so, you know, the truth is that you step out of line and, you know, there it is. The man take you away. But that was my introduction to Juneteenth. And then as I got older and sought more information, I could remember the lighter side of it and celebrate the lighter side, which is once again, you know, justice prevails. So
yeah.
that's how I met. Yeah. And before we go,
I want to talk about, you know, a woman who helped Portland and Oregon become aware of Juneteenth, and that's Miss Clara Peoples, who died in 2015 at the age of 89, but she was originally born in Muskogee, Oklahoma. She moved to Oregon in 1945 when so many black people moved from the South to Oregon to be part of the shipping industry during the war efforts. And when she moved into Portland, she was surprised to learn that Juneteenth was not celebrated in this part of the country. So she introduced the holiday to fellow workers at the Kaiser shipyards. And later she helped to initiate Portland's annual citywide Juneteenth celebration in 1972. She was known here as the mother of Juneteenth, and she gave countless years of service and dedicated effort to bring awareness of the holiday. She was also, you know, a counselor at the former, for those of you who are old timers might be aware of this, she was a counselor at the high school, John Adams High School in Northeast Portland. And she helped in many ways to fight hunger in our community with multiple good works. But she was tireless in bringing awareness in her effort, and she's one ancestor I hope we recognize as we celebrate Juneteenth, Miss Clara Peoples.
Yes. And that is, for me, one of the significant advances, is that this woman of vision had the freedom to help other people find their vision and freedom. Well, it's 8:57, and I want to thank the brave souls for calling in. I know sometimes you think, oh my goodness, they're not going to talk about this, are they? But like we said, and like the callers have said, you know, these are conversations that need to be held. They break the ground, they break up the clods of confusion and distrust, and they help make it a more fertile place for friendships and for, you know, humanity and joy and excellence to thrive. So people and I will continue to have these conversations, and we hope you will become more familiar with dialing that phone number, 503-231-8187. Not just Mondays, but every day of the week, but, you know, like, this is our show. So we want to talk about our show. And I want to thank those Braves folks for calling in and sharing their perspective and hopefully giving you cause to celebrate as well.
Celebrate as well.
Last word. You got the last word.
Oh, okay. Well, celebrate as well. Continue the struggle. Recognize that freedom does not come. Freedom is not free. It comes with a cost. And as we, if you're able to participate in the celebration this weekend, think of what's happening in your community, how you can remain a part of this struggle. I think it's significant that in addition to the programming that KBOO will be a part of this weekend, that also Celeste reminded us of the Oregon Remembrance Project and the work of Taylor Stewart to lift up the lynching, the only documented lynching of a person here in Oregon in Coos Bay this weekend, and the lynching of Alonzo Tucker. So the struggle continues. Stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station, KBOO. And until next week, this is Cecil with...
I'm Celeste, and we'll hear you next week on your community connection, KBOO Portland. Thanks to our engineer, Ty, for holding it together.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Next up is the Old Mole Variety Hour. It's 9 o'clock.
There are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO Portland, and I wish you had a lot more company.